Welcome to another inspirational message from Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any other resources, visit davegilpin.com.
For those of you that don't know me very well, I have to just describe myself a little bit to say what I'm going to say this morning. So, I am a reluctant stage person, right? In that, like, when I'm off, what you see up here is gifting, and when I sit down, I'm very boring, right? I'm actually fairly quiet. If you take me to a mall or something, I won't be the height of the party. I'm better just to sit on a seat and watch people. That's the real me, right? So I never like to put myself forward, or I like to just do what I do for Jesus quietly, and if you get attention, that's fantastic, but I don't go for the attention, okay? And God's been sort of correcting me a little bit about that lately, and so this is what happened when I was in Sydney, because sometimes we need to take the main stage in our lives, and we're reluctant to stand on it. And I was in Sydney in this conference of 7,000 people. And so I had to say that about myself first to say this. So I'm in this conference of 7,000 people sitting up on the bleachers on the side, watching it all. And I'm just sitting there thinking, oh, I'm just sort of all alone here. You know, don't really know a lot of people. We've been gone from Australia 22 years. So, you know, we've been gone a while. And I was just having that thought about not really being in the center of things. And as I had that thought, this lady called Val McIntyre, who runs a church in London, came up and went, Jen, come with me. And she just leaves Dave there and takes me, because it was my moment, took me out the back into the speaker's lounge, right, and walks in with me into this speaker's lounge and then goes, oh, I've got to go, and just leaves me there. Right? So this is the girl that's reluctant to be on the main stage, okay? And then Chris Pringle's over there, so the Chris and Phil Pringle, this amazing couple, and Chris goes, Jen, come here, and sits me down round a coffee table. Are you ready for this, church? Sits me down round a coffee table with Chris and Phil Pringle, Kong Hee, who has a church of 25,000 people in Singapore, and a pastor and his wife from Manila who have a church of 65,000 people, and me. So I'm sitting going, around this table. But God whispered into my spirit and said, Jen, it's time for you to stand on the stage that I've created for you and not to be embarrassed about it. And many of us are reluctant at times in our life to step up and be who God's called us to be. And that's what I really want to speak about to you this morning as individuals and as a location of Hope City Church. It is time. Come on, church, speak back to me this morning. It is time to take our place. Sometimes there's a fear in us that the arrows are going to fly, that if we stick our head above the parapet, someone's going to shoot you down. They probably will, but who cares? In Australia, it's called the tall poppy syndrome. And basically it is, if you dare to put your head up and show who you are, somebody will shoot you down. But I would suggest that it is our time as individuals and as a house to put our head up and say, this is who we are. This is who we are. It's time to take residence. God has called you to be great. Now, he's called you to be great for a reason. He's called you to be great because there are many, many lives waiting for you to step up to the plate in order that they can see you, in order that they can stand upon your shoulders and they can touch the heart of God. That's why God wants you to be great. There's a motivation in the madness. There's a reason. I'm going to read to you this morning from 2 Samuel. And this is the story of King David when he chose to take residence. It's a very interesting passage. Now, church this morning, my body is a little bit tired and my eyes are. So I apologize for being 47 and needing glasses. Okay, we're there. Right, so they'll come on and then they'll go off in a mo. I'm going to read to you about King David from 2 Samuel 5, verse 9 to 12. And this is when David had conquered Jerusalem. And this is what it says in verse 9 about King David. David then took up residence in the fortress and he called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inwards, and he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent envoys to David along with cedar logs and carpenters and stonemasons, and they built a palace for David. Then David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. This is a really interesting passage. Sometimes when you're reading scripture, you just need to stop and actually read what it really says. And it says here that King David took up residence. Now, when you take up residence somewhere, you move in. You don't camp. Now, and when I saw that ad, I thought, no, that option one, option two, option three, please, yes. Who wants to camp in Great Britain? No one. He chose to take up residence. He actually moved in to the City of David. But guess what? He not only moved in and took residence, he called it the City of David. How dare he? How very dare he? It's like us calling this Gilpin City Church. Come on, it is, isn't it? And wouldn't you have the masses going, they are so full of themselves. But this is what King David did. He called it, it says it in the word, I'm not making it up, it says he called it the City of David. How did he know who he was? How did he choose to move in and take residence? How very dare he that he called the city that he moved into the City of David? How did he know that he knew that he knew that he knew who he was and what he was meant to be? And that is what I'm going to help us with this morning. That we, as people, can take up residence in the places that we're meant to live. Are you with me, church? Now, the first thing that had happened with King David is that adversity had shaped this guy. He had been through stuff. And every one of us here this morning have come to this place with a variety of stuff in our world, things that we have been through. First up with King David, he was the last one chosen amongst his peers. He was the little guy that was overlooked. He'd faced a giant with five small stones. He'd faced all that he had was his own little ability. He'd faced that issue. He'd been the subject of an unfair jealousy campaign. He'd faced slander. He'd been chased for fearing for his life. He'd faced persecution. This guy had faced some stuff down. Adversity had molded King David. And even after all that, King David decided that he would spare the life of his pursuer. He even learnt grace through adversity. This guy, King David, who chose to take up residence, had been shaped through pain. He had been shaped through slander. He'd been shaped as being the last one wanted. He'd been shaped through persecution. And so adversity had not only shaped King David to shoulder greatness, but he understood the reason why God had called him to be great. Let me suggest to you this morning that if you are going through something that's tough and hard and painful, God is shaping your spirit in order that you would be able to have an inordinate compassion for mankind because you have been through something that makes you understand. That's why you go through what you go through. God wants you to shoulder greatness, and he wants you to know that when you step up to that plate, that you're not there because you're good looking or you're powerful or you're charismatic or you're amazing. You're there because somebody needs you. That's why God gives you greatness. And that's why God has called this place to greatness. That's why God has called this church to step up and put its head above the parapet. Not because we are amazing, because blatantly we're not. But God has called us to step up and be great because there is a generation that's knocking on the door of the house of God wanting to know the God that you are so privileged to have in your spirit. Greatness is important to God because you have the power to lift people to another level. Adversity shapes us. Your hard times have a purpose. They give you capacity and they give you a new motivation. When I had my hip replaced, it's like 6 years ago now, and I'd never, ever had an operation in a hospital or anything major like that happen to me before. Do you know what? I understand people in hospitals now. I get what they're going through. I thank God for that because it did something in me. It made me a rounder person. It made me a person more capable of understanding sickness. Come on, God's taking you through something to take you somewhere. The second thing about King David is that it says here he took up residence. But he had to choose to do that. He had to make a decision that he was going to step himself and take a seat in the house of his destiny. He chose to take residence. You know, some of you need to realize right now that you are in the right place at the right time, right now, doing the right thing. And you need to choose to drop the fear, the anxiety, and the false humility and get on with doing what you're meant to do. Us Brits, and I put myself in that category now because I've been here a long time, we like a good-sized portion of false humility. I can say it because I'm Australian / British. But often humility or the guise of humility is actually the blanket of fear. And we can pretend to be humble. Jen, you're getting us on a Sunday morning. Sorry. We pretend to be humble because we're actually afraid to be who God wants us to be. And I would suggest it's time to step out and choose to take up residence. Do you know, I find it interesting sometimes the comments that I hear about from different angles and that, you know, I hear it all. There's not much I haven't heard actually in 28 years in the ministry. But I hear comments and like, interesting, once I heard a comment about my son Ryan who leads worship in Sheffield and they said, he's only there because he's the pastor's son. And I thought, no, he's actually there because he's been at worship practice every Thursday night since he was 11. But anyway. But some of the other comments I hear about is, your singers and your musicians, they're so confident and they're so middle class. And they're so full of themselves. And you know, hello, hello, hello. Hey, I'm defending you here, girlfriend.
I love that.
I know their stories. Like I used to hear that. Our pastor in Germany, Siobhan Bullock, Someone said to me once, she's so middle class. Siobhan. Siobhan in Germany was dragged up by a psychotic mother. My goodness, she is a trophy of God's grace. Do you know why she's looking middle class? Because she knows who she is now and she's chosen to take residence. Whew. The reason people look confident and amazing is because they've decided to know who they are. They've decided to take God's word as their choice of places to live and not their story. They've chosen not to be victims. They've chosen to take residence for goodness flippin' sake. It's time to no longer be afraid of success. Let me read to you from 1 Samuel about another guy called Saul. And this was his reaction to God calling him. Now really speak into your spirit. If you feel cornered now, it's getting worse. This was a guy called Saul. And this was his reaction to when God called him. And this is 1 Samuel 10. It says, when Samuel had made all Israel come forward by tribes, the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin, Dan by clan by clan. This is because it was Dan because I couldn't really see it, and it's actually clan. We need to go back to Dan. There he is. He's clan, not Dan, yes. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was taken, but when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord, has the man come here yet? And the Lord said, yes, he has hidden himself amongst the baggage. I am so on one. Many of the times when God calls us to step up and to be great in our sphere of influence, God looks for us and we're too busy hiding behind fear, low self-opinion, hiding behind intimidation, hiding behind that person's better at me, why should I bother? Hiding behind baggage of our pasts, hiding behind baggage that is doing us no good. God speaks into our spirits today that we would respond like David did and not like Saul did. That we would step out and choose to take residence and not hide behind the baggage. Stop hiding. God is searching for you today. And he wants you to step out from behind the baggage. Right, got it. Someone was taking a photo. And I have this reaction to cameras. I'm better like down than up because up at my age you get the double-double under here. Yep. Now, let me talk about taking residence. Because you're actually, when you choose to step up and take residence, you choose to go into an incredible partnership. Let me share with you a little bit about my life with Pastor Dave. A little bit of the goss here, church, right? So we run a company, okay, because Dave writes books and all sorts and you have to pay tax because we're honest, right? So we run a company and the royalties and whatever that come in, right? So Dave's out there writing books and meeting and greeting and preaching and throwing paint on pictures and pretending it's art and doing all this stuff. And the company's called Degate. David Anthony Gilpin Art with an E to make it sound posh. But let me tell you, church, I run the company. I do the invoices. I do the tax return. I keep the books. I do all that. Mr. High Flyer Painty Arty Farty Guy only exists because I keep it all legal. Dave knows who turns the head. Thank you. Thank you. Dave has, I'll share a few little extra things about Dave because you love them, don't you? Dave has a couple of serious fetishes. Well, that doesn't sound good, does it? No. Let me find another word. Obsessions, yes. Yes, obsessions. And, yeah. Jet lag. Jet lag. Come back, church. Come back, church. I love Jesus. We all love Jesus. And one of them is he always has to sleep in a new white T-shirt, right? So I'm constantly buying white T-shirts. And then I put them in dryer and shrink them to child size, and then I need to get some more. But his other obsession is matching pairs of black socks, right? They've got to be the same texture, length, look. You know, they've got to be put away perfectly. And he's always going, oh, Dan, I don't have any socks. So he said to me recently, Jen, he said, I need you to go and get me some socks. Don't go buying any of those metal end socks. He says, I want you to go to Marks and Spencer's, Jen. You go to Marks and Spencer's and you get the best socks. And he said, they've got all match. So they've got like 10 pairs of the same black socks. So when you put them together, they're all the same. Church. He might be wearing those funky black socks on it. That's not a good word here either, is it? Is that all right? Okay. Black socks on a Sunday. But I buy the socks. I am the other side of this partnership. Let me read to you from 2 Samuel 22. And it says this, if I can find it, 32. I'm in the wrong place. I put a marker in this morning, but it's the wrong marker. And there isn't a 2 Samuel 32. No, it's 22. Yeah. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give away. This is a partnership. When we choose to step out on the heights, I call it Deerfoot Day. Because sometimes we feel like we're half hanging off the mountains. And we're like, I'm going to fall. But God says he broadens the path so my ankles don't turn over. This is a partnership. I bought a bracelet in Australia. And I had to buy it because it said, on one side it says, you are stronger than you think. And the other side it says, you are braver than you believe. This is a partnership. And when you choose to take up residence, God the Holy Spirit brings all the power of heaven in to hold your hand. He arms us with strength. Inner fortitude. He helps us to deny exhaustion. He helps us to deny discouragement. He gives us strength as a weapon. And he promises us sure footing in the places we feel less confident. Trust me, I don't feel extremely confident in the presence of people with a church of 65,000. I'll tell you something else that happened that was quite funny, and then I'll get to my point. So Dave can be a little bit of a moron sometimes. And There's this amazing speaker that's like the who's who in the zoo speaker worldwide at the moment, a guy called Stephen Furtick. And I concede he is a good speaker because I heard him in Sydney. And so Dave says, Jen, I'm going to go and get a photo with Stephen Furtick. I'm like, oh, Dave, you're acting like you're 12. He says, oh, no, Jen, the guys will love it. The guys will love it. Like, specifically thinking of your pastor here. And so we go down into the speaker's lounge and, like, Kong Hee, Stephen Furtick, you know, all these people in there. And I stood outside the door with the events manager of the conference because I thought, I'm not playing this silly teenage game. So I stood outside the door having a laugh with her at Dave, who was charging on in. Hello with her. Right. Like you would with, like, a rock star or something. Like, I just don't do that. So I'm standing outside the door. Dave does, but I don't. And so Dave gets up to Stephen Furtick and then yells across the room, Jen, get yourself in here. Come and have a photo with Stephen Furtick. So I had to walk in the door. Hi, Kong. The things I have to do. I didn't feel very confident. That was my dear foot day. We need to choose take residence in the castle called greatness. Did you hear me? We need to choose to take residence in the castle called greatness. We need to break out of the baggage storeroom and place your life in the drawing room of God's purpose for your life. Every moment and experience in your life has drawn you to this place. This is your moment, your realization. And God gives you the grace, the energy, and the encouragement and the vitality to live out the call and purpose of each day. We may not have what we need to be great tomorrow, but we do have all we need to be great today. Because it is not tomorrow, it is today. God arms me with strength for today. And fills my future with strength, power, and enablement. God empowers me to be great. And it's our choice today to jettison the baggage that stops us serving humanity. Because that's what it does. It's our choice today to jettison the stuff that stops us serving humanity and to step up. Now, let me tell you, church, I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to you here this morning, in that I'm finding myself in this season of my life in places where a shy girl should not be. But I'm choosing to believe what I read on my little bracelet. You're stronger than you think. You're braver than you believe. And who knows what resides on the other side of a moment of bravery? Who knows whose incredible salvation, whose future changed by a moment of deciding to deny exhaustion? Who knows what life is going to be touched because you've decided to deny discouragement in your world? And we're going to have a moment in a second. We're going to stand. Let's all stand together. And we're going to jettison some baggage. Are you with me, church? We all know what it is in our lives, whether it's low self-esteem, whether it's insecurity, whether it's fear, whether it's I've been there before and it didn't work out for me and I don't want to try again. For some of us, you need to try again. You need to go again. I can't stop looking at you all meeting. And I just have a sense in my heart that there's something international in your future. I don't know what, I can actually see you. It's almost like getting your hands dirty on behalf of heaven. Like, Like God's going to give you international people. And somehow in my spirit, sorry, Chris, I sense that God's going to send you. And you're going to get your hands real dirty on behalf of heaven. And I can see people literally just being drawn to you. And I don't know what that's about, but hide it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Because if somebody had prophesied over me that I was going to live away from a beach, it would have killed me. Oh, we have the beach in Brighton. That's glamorous. Are you ready to do some business, church? Lift your hands to God. Close your eyes. Just focus right on heaven right now. Heavenly Father, we choose to step out from behind the baggage. For those of us that are tired, that are exhausted, Father, we deny exhaustion, we deny discouragement. We choose to be people that step up to the plate and take residence in the castle called greatness. Father, I pray for every life. Lord, you know what's in every heart in this place today. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that they, as they step out, Lord, they know what it is. Whether it's someone they know they need to talk to, but they've been too afraid to. I pray that this week they would make the change. Father, whether you're speaking to someone, to people about joining a team or be something or doing something different and they're afraid to change, Father, I pray that this week they would choose to take up residence in the incredible future you have for them. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would encourage hearts. For those that feel like they've been hanging off the crags, Lord God, today I thank you that it's their Deerfoot Day. I thank you that you hold them, that this is a partnership. This is not something we do on our own. And Father, I thank you that we are stronger than we think and braver than we believe. Because you hedge us in behind and before. You're already in our future, calling us into it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
To carry us. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.